Welcome to Mozcast Ritual. This is Ritual 4. It feels like I've been away for ages. It's only been a few weeks. Really, I think it was the 9th of February was the last upload. And of course, it's been quiet in the world of Morrissey, but there has been a lot of other things happening, which I'm going to cover in the roundup. So Ritual 4, this is, I am calling this as the Podcaster's Ritual. This is a fan-based podcast for all things Morrissey and the Smiths. So each episode is broken down as follows. It goes R for roundup, roundup of the latest news. I is for interview. T is for my top 10 Smiths or Morrissey songs. U is the understanding section. A in this episode is again for Australia, and L is for lastly, where I read out some contact details for Mozcast Ritual. So yeah, it's been, as I said, it's been a few weeks since I last put out Ritual 3, and of course in that few weeks I am hoping that Morrissey has been following doctor's orders and resting as much as he can, because there, of course, we all know what happened there. He's had a very, very busy 2023, a massive tour in and out of different countries. We're all just hoping here that he has just overdone it, and that he is resting up to get himself back on the road to recovery. So yeah, in terms of anything happening from Morrissey himself, of course that has been quiet. Yes, of course there has been other things happening in the world of the Smiths or Morrissey. So I would say the first thing, the first bullet point I've got for the Arthur roundup is Johnny speaking out about the Smiths' music being played at Donald Trump rallies. He is not happy at all being associated in any way, shape or form with Donald Trump, and in my own personal opinion on that is who could blame him. He, I think it was a Rolling Stone interview where the interviewer sort of mentioned it to him, and his response was, oh my goodness, I didn't think that there could ever be a world where that would happen. But then he came out later on social media when he did. He had obviously went back and saw himself and thought, my goodness, he said, consider this shit shut down right now. I'm taking absolutely nothing to do with it. It did also remind me of the David Cameron incident where, I think it was Desert Island Discs, David Cameron had mentioned a Smith song that he would take, and Johnny came straight out and say, basically forbid him. I think that was the quote, I forbid you from liking the Smiths. So not particularly keen on any political ties, and who could blame him, really, David Cameron or Donald Trump. So yeah, legally as well, when I was looking into it, I'm thinking, well, what can he do? They played Please 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 Let Me Get What I Want. Of course, here we go, that song has come up I think in every episode so far, but yeah, here we go again. It's come up because it's been played at this rally, and when I looked into it, I thought, you know, Morrissey and Marr own the publishing for it, they must own the rights to it or whatever, so what can they do about that? The answer is actually really nothing. These big, massive political campaigns, they can apply to BMI, or particularly in America, it's ASCAP, where they can apply for special licenses to play this music. And really, unless Johnny wanted to pursue something that would be long and drawn out, and really to get what out of it, I think he'll obviously just need to leave that. He's publicly denounced it, and well done to him for doing that, but no, why would anybody want to be associated with that or have their music associated with that? Morrissey's now under new management, Pete Galley, so hopefully this is gonna signal new negotiations, or someone coming in that's going to maybe try and tidy up this situation or take a fresh approach with Morrissey, and we'll be able to get that music out and get it heard. I'm absolutely dying to hear it. Another bullet point in the roundup is the death of Steve Wright, RIP Steve Wright. So he died, that was February 13th, 2024. There has been pretty much in every Rituals roundup so far an RIP or a tribute to someone. So, yeah, maybe that must just be the age we all are. Anyway, the next bullet point was a Morrissey Central message. A really interesting read. A big, big long quote from Morrissey, talking about the Maxwell Hall gig in Manchester, and it was the night before Panic was released in Great Britain. And actually, I'm taking some of the quotes from his Morrissey Central post. That is my You for Understanding section in this episode. So I won't go into that any further here. And my last bullet point is a message to Moz. I really do hope your recovery is going well and that you are well rested. A lot of fans are hoping that you have, again, as I mentioned earlier, just done a little bit too much in 2023, and hoping that some rest will do you the absolute world of good. So I am here at Mozcast wishing you all the best. I'm going to wish you all the best on behalf of all the fans. We all love you and we hope that you are on the road to recovery. For interview in this section, generally sort of change between either doing a face-to-face interview or discussing an interview that Morrissey has given. Something that Greg and I were talking about in the last episode was the interview that Morrissey gave to Fox News when he was completing the New York leg of his American tour there. And that's the interview that I'm going to discuss today. I've downloaded the clip. We'll discuss certain different points of it, but I was just very impressed with the way he came across this time. He dealt with really a very over-enthusiastic interviewer really with ease. He's obviously got much, much better. I think maybe in days gone by he would have had very little patience for something like that kind of interview. And he would have made his feelings known, but I think he's just much better now at dealing with she was just very over enthusiastic. I don't know if it was just, you know, an American and an Englishman and the American just being like, you know, quite loud and bubbly, and Morrissey just kind of sitting there and quite poised and not very tight lipped, but pretty measured in what the things that he was saying. Also, he just seems to be becoming more reflective in his sort of general discourse. Obviously, the 40 years of Morrissey tour, he's discussing that. He's sort of saying, you know, he's met everyone that he wants to meet. He's doing a lot of looking back recently, so I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing or not. He was also very honest about the situation with Capitol, talking about the Miley Cyrus track there. There was just a couple of sort of cringy moments where I think the moment when she was reading out the song titles, which she had written in her phone, and she's kind of like thrown herself back in the couch and stuff like that and thrown her phone about, and it was just quite cringy. I suppose in terms of if it was like two animals on screen, Morrissey would be like the cool cat just sitting there quite poised, and quite hard to knock off that poise and his balance and his how measured he is. But she's just like the dog, just like the play with me, look at me, I found it quite exhausting at times. But the part where she was asking him what his process is, you know, how does he write? So, you know, just give it all away, Moz. Come on, give it all away on Network News. How do you write your song? He, obviously, he gave nothing away, but he did kind of answer her. And the other cringe bit, you know, she's kind of saying, you know, well, you know, are you going to write a song about me? Because, you know, I feel like we're bonding and stuff like that. And I think just he was cringing as well at that point. He's obviously just become much better at hiding it, I think. So here we go.
I mean, it's amazing. I mean, the band was together just a few years. Yeah. You've had a much longer solo career than the Smiths.
That's very true. Yeah.
Is that okay with people always kind of bringing up the Smiths with you?
It's interesting because they finished 38 years ago. So I think it's 38 years, more or less. So I'm very, very surprised. I mean, I've been in a few record stores the last few days, and I'm really surprised at how they live on and they're positioned and promoted. And it's really, really very touching.
Oh, that's nice.
Very touching.
Meanwhile, your new music getting a lot of play. People want to hear more of it.
Yes, me too.
I know this is a sore subject. We can go there or not go there.
Probably. No, it's okay.
Is it going to come out? Are we going to hear it anytime soon?
Well, I don't know. These stories are always boring for most people, but
we all have drama in our lives.
I know we have drama, but this album was recorded in January 2021, and.
Okay, yeah, I think they've got a really good rapport. The audio of the interview is actually really good, a bit less cringe, I have to say. So I just cut it there because he does go on, well, a few Smith songs play in the background there when he's talking, so I've obviously just split that bit out. He goes on to talk about Miley Cyrus and the situation with Capitol Records. This is before, as I mentioned in the roundup, this interview was before the CEO had left. That's the update, so we're hoping that will bring about the release of Bonfire of Teenagers. So I've edited that sort of next section out. Here is the next part.
Can we talk about your songwriting process?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's so intense, it's so relatable. Mm. Even the titles, can I talk about some of the titles?
Yeah.
I'm Not a Dog on a Chain. Even you laugh, right? Hate it when our friends become successful.
Yes. Well, I do. I absolutely do. I think it's a common sentiment. I think many people feel that way. I think they do. I mean, they might not say it.
So what inspires you? Like, are you sitting there having dinner with a friend and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, this is a song?
I can't really say. It just happens to me and I write it down and then it becomes a song. But I'm not the same old formula. I'm not the kind of singer who does the same old formula. I look at life very differently and very realistically, and just try to make it palatable in very nice music and very nice tunes, and it does work.
Do you have a songwriting regime?
No.
Get up early in the morning, stay up late at night?
Never. It's constantly just scribbling things down, and they just begin to form choruses and verses and so forth. So, no, it's just...
Okay, so here we go with the next section, which I just had to include it because, yeah, they do seem to be getting along very well, but she just gets a little bit overexcited, and here is the section where she starts describing how they're bonding. Oh, yes.
I mean, do you still get, like, shy? I feel like you're a little shy, although... You and I are bonding this morning.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. But it's a remarkable thing to meet everybody. And sometimes they begin to look to you for, I wouldn't say advice, but ideas and so forth. And I just think this is crazy.
This is not the last time we're going to see you in New York, is this, Morrissey?
I don't think so, unless I'm assassinated.
You're going to be fine. Do you think there's somebody after you? Should I know? There's a lot of people in the studio here right now. Do I need to be concerned?
You never can tell.
No, I think people adore you and they love your music. Are there any tickets available for this weekend at the United?
I don't know. I think there are a few, but the audiences are usually very, very enthusiastic and they grab quickly.
I believe you. Has life on the road been different for you this time around than in the past?
Well, the body slows down slightly. I mean, we can't help it. Our bodies do change. Our faces change, our hair changes. There's not much we can do about it. And 40 years is a long time. So when people say, I say, what the hell do you expect? Look at you. The body changes.
Well, listen, I think you look great. Your voice is in great shape.
Thank you.
We're so honored to have you here. Just wondering before you go, did I inspire a song or anything? Should I be listening for something in the coming days?
Yes, but we shouldn't talk about it now.
Morrissey, everybody. Just a few more tickets left at the United Theater.
Yes.
It's Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Correct.
Wow, so nice to have you.
Thank you.
Okay, there you have it. That was Morrissey's last interview that he did there. I've edited out a few sections, but really, yeah, I wonder what the song title would be that he's going to write about, or the mind boggles. Anyway, that was I for interview. For my top 10 Smiths and Morrissey songs ever, and this is number, where are we, 10, 9, 8, this is number 7. This is the song Still Ill. Now, Still Ill was released 20th of February 1984. It's on Smith's debut album, The Smiths, and I think it made it onto Heartful of Hollow as well, which was, of course, that wasn't one of the studio albums, that's a compilation album. But yeah, I think that track made it onto both, and it is one song, apart from, yeah, Johnny's guitar work, it's actually Morrissey's vocals, the melodies, and more so the lyrics in this song that just stuck out to me the first time I ever heard it, which was, I decree today that life is simply taken and not given. And yeah, and then obviously there's some other really good, there's some borrowed lines in there, there's some things, you know, from philosophy and things like that. Does the body rule the mind, or does the mind rule the body? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I like how he asks a very philosophical question and then sort of follows it with something like, I don't know, as if he's kind of slightly dumbing that down. But yeah, no, absolutely fantastic. The lyrics, the music, the pace of the song, his delivery. It's something that seems to cover all the spheres of life, or even his life. There's a little bit of political in there. There's some personal. There's some economic references. There's philosophical things, as I said. And yeah, even just like in 1984, I decree, there's not many people that started songs. You'd be hard pushed to find someone else that's going to start a song in that way. It Owes Me a Living, The Empire Is Mine. He's talking about entitlement. The old dreams of sort of like empirical greatness and Britain being great. Great Britain. It's sort of like, oh, you know, the old dreams of empirical greatness are gone. It's kind of contradictory in the lines. Body or the mind, or the mind or the body. There's a little bit of philosophy in there. Who's actually singing the song? It's just one song that I absolutely love. I knew Still Ill was going to be in my top 10. I just did not know exactly where, but there you go. That is Still Ill, my top 10 at number 7. You for understanding. The you for understanding section in Ritual 4, as I mentioned in the roundup at the start, it was a post that I read on Morrissey Central, and the more I read into it, I just thought, yeah, I think I'll put that in. And definitely one episode, so here it is. So basically, I'm just going to read it to you and then we'll have a wee bit of chat about it at the end. So, everything happened so quickly in 1986. 10 years earlier, I had seen 3 Sex Pistols gigs in Manchester and they were fantastically agitated, whereas this night in Salford is a glory celebration. Panic would be released at 9 a.m. the next day, number 11 by the following weekend. No airplay, of course, because Smith's songs described the way people actually lived, which then, as now, wasn't ever the point of daytime radio. Panic had been muttered about as being racist by the people who shout insults for a living. They never die, God help us. It was an accusation not dependent on any evidence, as usual. It was the opening song, and the blaze of the crowd tells you how this moment, how you are in the now of everything. When we are afraid, we want to be controlled. But this audience were not afraid and will never be controlled. The music is a fighter jet of guitar, of military crossfire drumming, of bass full of manhood's fire yet played with nobility. No crass neuromantic slow dance bass jerks, as they all did in those days. And then there was me, of course, in gleeful rage, suddenly bare-chested at the lip of the stage, demented, but why not? You only live twice, and I was here because I was no good doing anything else. You must take charge of your life. Everything we had done as a band moved us forward to this very point, and Maxwell Hall was important because we'd seen enough of the outside world to now cherish our own backyard. The venue had the creak of old ward doors, and the rooms had that strange smell of stale bark. Rough trade workforce walked around the venue like itching activists ready to light the touch paper. They all know how to smoke and how to use the right words. These are the days when everyone still travels up north in a van, miles measured by Blue Bowl service stations and chips with everything. Each time I caught a conversation, I can't stop laughing. It's a sly stone family affair and all the wrong people are not there. Everyone seems to be saying either, well, we've done it, or, now this is something interesting. Scott Peering repeatedly brushes his hand across the top of his head as he takes a philosophical view, and Mike Hink rips open his 41st Carlsberg of the night. Either one or both will quote Kafka and somehow link it to Panic, looking like characters from the L-shaped room. Joe Slee and Martha Defoe there, trailing their hands in the water. On the stage, the night started as a tornado and moves faster and faster. 3 encores? It was a fanaticism of discontent 200 miles away from Cashpoint SW1. Still ill, rush home ruffians, or rush home ruffians, what she said, along with the unplayed miserable lie, had developed into soaring blasts that were street fights rather than musical numbers. And this is why Smith's concerts were essentially about physical proximity. No one ever went to a Smith's concert to sit in their seats. But we would never make it into the arenas of England. Art is time bound, and so are you. Overheard. What's so important about the Smiths? Well, their songs are about something. Oh, that's unusual, isn't it? Sandra Goff and Jennifer Moss were in the audience. No. Oh, that was just a miserable lie. The outro fades and the stragglers straggle and you run down to the safety of the town. We all scuttle home like dust mice. The secrets and the sweat remain on the hall walls forevermore. Was it really so strange? To the best of my knowledge, it was a pleasure. So, yeah, some very, very interesting quotes in there from Morrissey. Again, as I said, I just think it's, he's just doing a lot of looking back. He's obviously very descriptive in his writing. It's I like the way that he talks about actually what it feels like to be on stage. Obviously, with him being such a good writer, he kind of gets that across really well there. And just that kind of 1986, that point in time where it was quite interesting where he had said, you know, they'd been out and they'd seen enough of the world to now come back and appreciate Manchester, and this gig just absolutely flew. And of course, as he said, Panic was released the next day. A lot of things when I was young and growing up, and whenever different bands were mentioned and things like that, it was like, oh God, the Smiths, Morrissey, depressing, morose, you know. But really the gigs were just like total celebrations, and as he said, physical proximity. It was really quite, there was just chaos in the crowd, the band just driving forward with Morrissey, just sending the audience into sort of like absolute raptures, and he goes on and describes that really well in this segment. So yeah, that is the U for Understanding section of Ritual 4. Okay, so A in this Ritual 4 stands again for Australia. We're heading back down under to hear from a very good friend of the show, Greg Allen. So Greg is super fan extraordinaire from Oz. He stays pretty close to Sydney. So there was a Smiths tribute act called The Smiths, S-M-Y-T-H-S. He was heading off into Sydney to see them, meeting up with a bunch of people. I had asked him to maybe record some content, let me know how the gig had went, so on, so on. He did so, but there was quite a lot of different content and single, sort of like individualised voice clips. In terms of editing, I thought I would just... I'll name check everyone that was there, and then I will play sort of like the post-show interview that Greg sent through. So everyone that was there, Greg of course was there, Craig was there, Andy was there, Kim, Dave and Gareth, along with Murray as well. So all the people that you should hear in this clip are the following people that I had just name checked there. It sounds like they had a really good night. Yeah, so here we go.
We don't know where it is. We're somewhere not far from Central Station. We're heading home. My voice, as you can hear, is completely stuffed. And we've had a great night at the Smythe show tonight. Plenty of energy expended, plenty of beers drunk. So let's see how the boys found it. Here's Dave, who you've heard from before.
Awesome night. Great time, jumping around like a madman. I was curious, Greg, how it compares to seeing the real Morrissey. I've never seen Morrissey, obviously. Thoughts, Greg?
Well, it's completely different to see Morrissey these days. I mean, it's a bit more of a conservative affair. That was pretty wild, and I think we all had a great night getting into it. It was maybe a bit more like the Smiths were back in the 80s. Plenty of sweat, especially from me. Craig, your thoughts?
Smiths rule!
Woo!
It's all fake. Don't listen to this bloke. And Andy, for a more intelligent approach.
That was terrific. You kind of just appreciate what a completely tragic person Morrissey is to come up with those lyrics. And yeah, it's great to sing along and clasp your heart and have a good silk dance. It was magnificent.
Good stuff. And finally, Kim, you had a great night tonight. Do you want to share some thoughts?
We were all dancing, and what impressed me the most was I saw not like we're kind of elderly, maybe mid-aged gents, but you know, there were like older people dancing, there were young people dancing, going crazy, doing the same stupid shit that we were doing. So yeah, it was fucking fun.
Sadness is universal.
Sadness is universal, said Andrew from over there. Yeah, it's true. There was lots of young people here tonight, and it's true. Like, it's funny, like, watching them all dance to the songs that we grew up with. And anyway, it was a great night. Smites. They'll always have a home in Australia, won't they?
And we're going back, aren't we?
Oh, mate, they're coming in November 2025. Yeah. We'll make sure they get our tickets before they sell out. All right.
Okay, L for lastly, thank you so much for listening. I always wonder if people actually make it to L or not. Probably, yeah, turn it off after I or something, who knows, or fall asleep with my dull tones here. But no, honestly, thank you so much for listening, guys. Yeah, just again, message to Moz, hope you're feeling better, hope it's all going to work out. Want to see you back in 2024, get Bonfire of Teenagers out, see you back on tour, maybe announce something for October or November time for Britain, who knows. That's my hope for 2024 for Morrissey. So yeah, I do have, as I said, at Mozcast Ritual, that's Facebook group, at ColeBrown22, that is the X page. I don't know if it's particularly for me, all this social media thing. Another girl, a podcast that I listen to, she's went over to Threads and she's really enjoying that. So I'm maybe going to go and check that out. Again, only a few people have joined the Moz Memories, the Facebook group. No, not Facebook group, sorry, the WhatsApp group that I started. If you check out at Mozcast Ritual Facebook and at ColeBrown22X, you will see the links for Morrissey Memories. That is for, I just want you to drop a wee memory of Morrissey, or the first time you ever saw Morrissey or heard the Smiths, or anything like that. So look out for that link. And again, thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time. Cheers.